Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to my show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and I have a very exciting guest today, John Serbone, and he is the world's famous hypnotist, who is the fastest hypnotist alive, and we will be with him in a moment. I just couldn't wait for this show since I'm not really familiar all the time about hypnotists and what they do and, you know, the mystery behind that. So I think John will really shed an exciting light on this, and it'll be really interesting to see. You know, when people say about hypnotists, they're like, whoa, I'm going to sit in the back and let's see what happens to the people in the front row. So, you know, today, you have a front row seat. We'll be able to see and listen and hear what John has to say. So I'm really hoping your Sunday is wonderful. You know, it seems the temperatures have across the U.S. are starting to go down. You know, and I think it's really great because here in the Deep South, it's finally below 80. You know, maybe I can open a window. I know it's going to be 85 to 89 the rest of the week, but maybe today and tomorrow will be below 80, and that will be fabulous for me. It's a really relief. So I really hope you're having a beautiful day wherever you are. You know, today we took a drive, and we noticed a lot of large families, you know, coming out of churches and having picnics by Lake Pontchartrain or on the Mississippi River. You know, on these great days, a lot of people really like to get out. Today, it was so beautiful. I guess my eye was drawn to a lot of elderly that were out. You know, they love to come out on really great days when there's no rain and all the other hassles of life, and it's just a nice, beautiful day. You can notice them really, really quickly. They drive super slow going down the street, and everybody is passing them up if they're driving, you know? So today, I'm going to touch on a product I love to take for memory. I've started to do this the past few shows, talking about a product that I really think is very timely and important right now, because I used to find a lot of clients would come to me in their later years or when they already had a lot of issues and doctors were not able to help them. So coming to me as a naturopathic physician, after you've already had so many medical concerns or lifestyle issues and your things just aren't working out, I mean, we all try to help everyone, but I like to turn it around and say I would love to have a conversation with others prior to issues. And is this called prevention? I really don't think so. I really call it, you know, let's pay attention now to what's going on with us, so that down the road we don't have those issues. It's not really prevention. It's really being responsible and taking care of yourself. So today I'm going to talk about a company called Quincy Bioscience, and their product is called Prevagen Professional. You know, I started taking it after several stressful life events. You know, I have had tons of them in the past 2 years, and I was forgetting things, like I would just happen, or people's names. My kids would always be telling me, I just told you that. Aren't you paying attention to me? What is the problem? You know, or I would go to the store and be walking around and not even knowing what I was there for. And instead of going for two items, I'd come out with the whole cart full of groceries because I really wasn't paying attention. So when I found this company, their product, Prevagen Professional, I take one capsule a day, just one, which is fabulous for me. And the professional line is 40 milligrams, but they also have a 10 milligrams. That's just important to know. And I only take one a day. And, you know, I'm doing a whole lot of uhs and, oh, dear, I forgot, and what did you say? So that's great for me. You know, Prevagen, it has a unique ingredient to help improve your memory and your word recall. You know, it doesn't interfere with any supplements or medications. So you don't have to say, oh, I'm doing this, I don't know, or maybe I'll think about it, or what should I change? It's just the answer is, doesn't interfere with them, good to go. You know, and it has no common allergens. How many people now can't be around nuts or was it made in a factory that was from, had nuts or dairy, or I can't do soy, and I can't be a gluten, and it can't be this, that, or the other. There's no common allergens. You know, I have a seafood allergy, so that's very important to me. And research has shown it can reduce brain cell loss up to 50%. You know, I really think that's a great margin. I really cannot think of anyone past the age of 40 that really would not have great benefits in trying this product. You know, I'd encourage you to give them a call. You know, and all you need to do is just telephone them. Their phone number is 888-895-6463. The company is Quincy Bioscience, and the product you want to ask about is Prevagen Professional. You know, they have tons of clinical studies. If you're the type of person who wants to see the documents, I want to see what you've done, or I want to see some kind of reports about how it's helped others, just ask them. You dial the phone number, you just say you've heard it on this show, and you really want to find out some more information. That's it. They're there to help you. It's really great. Again, their number is 888-895-6463. And if you have any questions or concerns, you can always email me. You can email me directly through my website, which is www.outofthebox.healthcare.com. Just go to the Contact Us page, click it, and just send me a quick note if you need some help. Or if you're not sure, or if you really don't even know what the product is all about, maybe I will direct you to the company. I will get them to call you back. You know, I really know it works for me, and I just wanted to share it with you. I really think it's kind of important every once in a while for me to tell you some of the items that I'm using so that if they ring a bell with you or they're it just might be something that you might like to try, you know. So I would like to just share that with you and see if that would work for you. So my guest today is John Cerbone. He is, yes, the world-famous hypnotist, and yes, he is the fastest hypnotist alive now. The fastest hypnotist alive. I don't know about you, but there's a whole lot of people on this globe. For him to say that, he must be really, really great. So, John, are you with me?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show today. Like I said, you know, I know about hypnosis. I know it takes a long time. I know all of the issues with it for a lot of different people. So you're going to take all of those masks and all those concerns off of it and just give it to us clearly. You know, what is it and how do you do it and how did you even get started doing this? Because so many people are just like, it's such a mystery. They almost put it up there with magic, and it's not really magic because you actually do it in clinical settings. So if you could tell us how you got started, we can travel along that journey with you. How's that?
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Great.
When I was a little boy, my parents, like most parents at 3 years old or 4 years old, would say, go upstairs and pick up your room. And I knew even at that age that if I was to go pick up my room, I would feel stressed out and, you know, I'd have the famous lead legs and sore back by the time I was done.
Right.
So even as a child, I would go upstairs and lie down on the bed. I would deep breathe slow and steady, comfortable breath, which would basically shift my energy. I would visualize, even at that age, inhaling various forms of like sunlight into my lungs. How did I come up with that? I don't even know. It was just sort of there, you know. So from that point, I would get up after doing that for some period of time and clean up the room and come downstairs and be fully energetic and not have that sore back and lead leg thing going on that most kids have at that point. As time went on, I was in grammar school, and there were kids sort of off to the side in the class that just somehow felt I could help them in some way. In grammar school years, quite often their concerns were they weren't getting along well at home, and some of them were thinking about running away or doing something inappropriate or whatever it might be. And even at that age, I would externalize the technique from what I was doing for me by guiding them through what I did for me. And when they opened their eyes, they no longer wished to run away from home or do things that would have gotten them into trouble. So
you know,
this continued.
That sounds super exciting because you know what, that you're about, in, so your age, you're in the 50, you're over 50, let's put it that way. We'll be nice and polite, correct?
I don't do numbers anymore. I'm timeless.
Right.
Ageless, eternal. Go ahead.
But what we also think about is that, you know, that was the age of in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you know, when people were listening to their bodies. Those were the hippie years, you know. So it's not like those years when people were so disconnected from their body, you know. So other people around you.
Yeah, well, again, you know, my parents weren't exactly hippies either. My father was a police detective.
Oh.
So basically speaking, you know, this kind of was a very self-developed thing. And
wow.
No one ever explained to me, gee, lay down and, you know, guidance and all this other stuff.
Right.
You just kind of did what you did. So throughout grammar school, I continued to count. And this wasn't every day. This was, you know, every few months or so. There'd be some kid that just felt especially after I helped one, the rumor
right.
would go out, and there'd be another one with some other issue. He was having an argument at home. He was going to disappear. And I would just do whatever it was. And when they opened their eyes, they felt better. Then into high school. High school, there were kids thinking about running away from home and, in some cases, doing self-destructive behaviors. And sometimes I would just sit down with them, and I'd say to them, why do you think I can help you? Because the high school that I went to was further away from the grammar schools I had attended and an hour from my house. So most of these kids didn't know me from those days. And somehow they were just drawn to the fact that somehow they thought I could help them. And when I externalized this deep breathing and visualization process, they felt better, and they didn't want to do terrible things anymore. So then from that, it continued into college. And eventually, after leaving college, I was doing this in corporate America. I was doing workshops in sales organizations to take down stress, to motivate sales forces, which I still do this stuff, to go out there and sell, 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 and every no puts you one step closer to a yes, and raise the people's, you know, emotional levels to something beneficial and positive, to go out and sell and get out there and do something. And in one company I was in, I was the top salesman in that company. And they rearranged my sales territory, and within 3 months I was the top salesman again because of the upbeat attitude and the never say die, just keep going. You know, and I am very much
right.
the idea of getting out of bed in the morning and working until I'm finished at night, being self-employed these days. So eventually, when I left one company and went to a different company, a major insurance organization, and was on a top, you know, flight sales staff that they had there, eventually I took this outside the company to other businesses I was involved in. And one day, it became public workshops. And I was getting, sometimes I'd get 5 or 10 people in a room, and other times I was getting 700 people in a room. And one day I did a workshop, and this guy came up to me after the workshop and said, you were one heck of a hypnotist. And I said, a hypno what, joking around? And
right.
he said, come to my training school. And I said, there's a training school for this stuff? And he said, yes, you'll be able to help more people, and you'll be able to do more things than what you currently do. So I said to him, you know, what do you charge? And he gave me some price, and I was, you know, I said, well, I got to see what I can. No. You see, you're getting several hundred people showing up. If you're there, there'll be, you know, more people coming to the class that I'm running. And that was the first of dozens of certifications I currently hold in this profession. I went from basic certification as a clinical hypnotist to doing regression work to bring people back to lost items, money and jewelry and memories and that sort of thing to other training I took in pediatric hypnosis for clinically helping kids 4 years old and up. The youngest I've hypnotized so far was very specifically 3, and another one was very, very specifically 3.5. Because at that age, it's like football. Every, you know, foot means something to you. So 3.5, very much this little girl saying to me, I am 3.5. I actually have video of that on my YouTube page. This little girl, she collaterally hypnotized watching one of my shows. So then from that, I continued to go out there and do whatever it was I needed to do, involving sports hypnosis, Salesforce motivational hypnosis, stress management, obviously smoking and weight and reduction, and things along that line, where I've done corporation workshops for major companies, Fortune 500 companies that have brought me in to help them quit smoking and to reduce stress and to motivate their sales forces to sell. And over time, there were certain things I was looking to improve. So I wound up writing and compiling various versions of the first script book I wrote. A script book in hypnosis is the book by which we compile a list of different suggestions for various sessions that we do. And my first book, volume 7 of it, basically became an international bestseller in the field of hypnosis. And I've since released volume 2, which is also global. It's become a worldwide selling book. So basically speaking, I've continued to take various trainings and certifications through various hypnosis organizations. I'm a certified instructor. I can train people to do clinical hypnosis. After speaking in front of various groups of people, I've also studied stage hypnosis to do comedy entertainment in colleges, universities, high schools, corporations, fundraising events. And then I continue to think forward. What can I do to make the profession work better? And I continue to develop new and other ideas, including speed hypnosis, which means I can put a person into hypnosis in fractions of a second. I was first clocked at 7/10 of a second, then I got that down to 5/10 of a second, then 4, and then I was clocked at 2/10 of a second several times, which means if it's 1/5 of a second ice cold on a stranger through techniques I've invented, developed, and continued to refine.
You know, that is so interesting because some people are just like, that is so overwhelming. You know, you've had such a lifetime of just adventuresome things that you just started to connect with people and were able to have them connect back to you. You know, people walk through life a lot and there's no connection with anyone. They're just, you know, they've got their blinders on so thick that can they get help? Can they ask for help? Can they help others? It's just, you know, that is just not happening with so many people anymore. You know, and people coming to you and maybe even sensing that is at such a younger age is just absolutely incredible.
Thank you. I've had that happen my entire life. Living in New York City, you know, as various members of my family as well. We're those people that are sitting on the bus or the train traveling to work or something, and a stranger will sit down next to you or in a restaurant. This happens to me more than you can, today, yesterday, whatever I do when I go out to grab dinner somewhere, that somebody will sit next to me or a waitstaff person will stop by and a conversation starts. And the next thing, I'm hearing some segment of their life where there may be just a happy story, but it also may be some sort of an issue that they're asking me to work out. And a lot of times on the restaurant circuit, you know, if I'm out there eating dinner someplace, I'm big on making my own breakfast, but for dinner, especially with the work I do, a lot of times it's slanted towards afternoons and evenings. You know, it's not uncommon for somebody to ask me to do some sort of an in-restaurant or in-store demonstration of what I do.
Oh,
so constantly it seems I'm working. Like last night, I was in an Italian restaurant not far from my home, and one of the manager of the place knows me, and he said, well, this is my cousin. He just started working here. Can you make him taste a lemon in his mouth with his eyes closed like he did for the other guy last week?
Oh, goodness.
So I had him visualize and sense and taste a lemon in his mouth purely by non-hypnotic suggestion. It's hypnotic suggestion, but not in hypnosis. It's called waking hypnosis, technically. And he tasted a lemon. Then he's like, do something else that's cooler. I'm thinking, you know, this is not a magic act, but I think I'll lock his eyes closed through suggestion. And simply by talking to him, I had him lock his eyes closed. He couldn't open them until I touched him between his eyebrows. So there's a lot of stuff that I do demonstrationally out in the world as sort of a goodwill ambassador, I guess, for the profession. And anybody who really, really, really loves what they do the way I love this and the way I see this transform lives, is out there doing that kind of work where we're demonstrating things that are fun and, you know, we're ambassadors for the profession, just as any profession should be an ambassador to their own very best moments in their profession, in my view.
You know, it sounds so interesting. So if, let's say that if I just came to you, do you by appointments or do you have, I know you have events and everything and you see people, but you're in New York City and let's say I'm in Iowa somewhere, you know?
Okay.
How do people find out? Or in other words, if I needed your services for me specifically, how would I find out about you? And also, we can go into later, how about if I wanted to learn how to do this, how would I learn this from you?
Well, to answer the first question, I would say to you that I'm capable if there's a corporation program, for example, where they wanted to reduce stress or quit smoking or reduce weight or any other wide variety of things that I do. I mean, the top six private sessions I tend to do are smoking cessation, which is the most effective way to quit smoking, hypnosis. Statistically, mm-hmm. it's far out in front of everything else, especially if it's being done properly with reinforcement and other things that I provide, like recorded MP3s and other things mm-hmm. that they can listen to self-hypnotize, as all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, and any hypnotist is guiding you into something natural that happens in the human brain, to weight loss, to where I've helped some people lose hundreds of pounds from one session by using the reinforcement modalities I provide, to stress management, because according to a medical journal about 10 or 15 years ago, the number one killer of people is stress, that all illness later in life is attributable to higher levels of stress later in life in terms of disease. So disease is linked to stress, and they're saying that's a 97% ratio, that high levels of stress weaken the body and weaken all the various systems of the body that open you up to illness. Overcoming a fear is a big one. For example, the number one fear every year when they do research in a survey is public speaking. I think death came in number five this year, which means people would rather be dead than be doing what I'm doing right now, which is speaking in public. A better night's sleep is certainly an issue. How many people listening to this have issues sleeping? You know, they wake up several times during the night. They're wrestling with the sheets, the pillow, the this, the that. But aside from which, they're worried about tomorrow and what tomorrow may or may not bring. And they do a process. I've come up with a term. I call it disasterizing. They think about, oh, my goodness, well, today I got through today, okay, but what if tomorrow, something terrible happens in work or somebody's traveling, and they start worrying about things that haven't happened and may never happen. So that's another thing that we work on. And certainly education enhancement is another session that I do quite a few of, which is better memory, better recall, trusting your first response on a test, which most people don't do because they start overreading the question and start attributing other things to it, and they start mm-hmm. second-guessing themselves. And that's, I think the ratio on that is actually 98% of the time when you change the answer, it's for the worse on a test. So mm-hmm. the top six sessions would be smoking, weight, stress, a better night's sleep, overcoming a fear, and education enhancement. And public speaking is always a tremendously large fear for people. And one of the things in college I did was I worked in the speech and communications department. So I used to teach public speaking. So I've got a leg up there because I've had real-life experience teaching people how to speak in front of audiences. Now, if you go back to when I was about 13 or 14, I wasn't too certain in front of an audience either, you should understand.
Right.
But mm-hmm. every audience that I've ever appeared in front of is sort of rooting for you like a coach. They want you to be wonderful. I mean, let's face it, have you ever gone to a public speaking event and before you walked in thought to yourself, gee, I hope this person is absolutely lousy and terrible and boring? No. You're hoping this person is going to be dazzling and enjoyable. So those are some of the clinical sessions I do. And basically, on my website, there's some information about the books that I've written for other people in the profession to use in the session work that they do. But I've literally published well over 200 private sessions that talk about a wide variety of issues and topics, from people who are, doing other things to keep themselves out of balance, whether it's overcoming a breakup has been a session I've written numerous times. And people say to me, I want you to help me forget about this person I was involved with. Well, I can help you forget about them temporarily, but it's better that I approach this from the perspective of, they just mean so much less to you as if they happened in your life and left your life 16, 17, 18, 19 years ago, that you've been healing all that time and moving on with your life. And it's amazing when I pull somebody back up out of hypnosis, back to a fully conscious state of awareness. I was out a couple of weeks ago at the Emmy Awards. I was hypnotizing celebrities out there. And there was a journalist lady that sat in the chair, and she looked like she got dragged through a knot hole. She was kind of, her skin was off color, and it just didn't look right. And I said, what's going on with you? What can I do for you? And I was doing speed hypnosis demonstrations, And she said, my boyfriend of X amount of years just broke up with me. And when I brought her back up, I said to her, how are you feeling now, after giving her some suggestions? And she said to me, I don't care about him. She said,
wonderful,
I've moved on
huh?
with my life. And that's in about 3 minutes.
Goodness.
So, yeah.
So when you meet, so when you have someone who's asking you for help, what you're in essence doing is they're telling you what it is that's really in their forefront, and then you are working with them on an immediate basis, but nothing is ever, quote, permanent, because what they need to do, too, is they need to work on it. In other words, the other person is a participant. A lot of people think with hypnosis, let's let it happen to me, and that's not necessarily where a lot of things are. People really need to participate, and by participating, you know, you need to say what it, you need to be truthful, first of all, in what your issue is, and second of all, you need to be responsible in stating something that is true and factual. You need to be present in the moment, but then you also need to know that take responsibility for the results. Does it or doesn't it work, and what do you need to do next? What is your next step? It's not like you, John, are going to come by and you're going to click your fingers and my whole world is going to be, you know, Reese cups and a chocolate fudge ice cream, you know? It's just not going to work. So that is definitely something that people would need to know about hypnosis, too, is that it is a process. You know, granted, it's definitely those instantaneous things happen, but there's also processes that go on behind the scenes and forward, correct?
Yes, but here's a really critical point about this. When I do any kind of a regular session, and I'm not doing, you know, really fast demonstrations, a lot of the time I'm asking for, I mean, I can't say a lot of the time, it's actually all the time, I'm asking for a lot of intake. And generally what it boils down to, and it's something I train my students to do, is I ask for people to send me an email with five very short, simple sentences of what they think their weakest spots are on the topic. So in other words, if you're surviving a breakup, or say surviving a divorce, or say I'm working with a child who's going through their parents' divorce or something like that, I need to know what the weak spot moments are so I can write suggestions to counter those punches that are hitting them emotionally or mentally. But when you realize that 94% of human behavior is subconscious, automatic, where we think we're all little Mr. Spocks on Star Trek, everything is very like logical, and it's not. Most of what we're doing is automatic pilot and daydreaming. So when I'm talking to a person who's suffering from my life is over because this person broke up with me, or I have to give a speech in front of my company, and what are they going to say, and or I've got to stop smoking these cigarettes, what you're dealing with invariably is subconscious process where they don't know why they're doing what they're doing because it's happening from a deeper level in them automatically. For example, a smoker. I don't smoke. I've never smoked. But I will tell you this. I've helped thousands of people quit smoking. It might be even more than that. It might be tens of thousands of people quit smoking. And here's the thing. When a smoker goes to light a cigarette, they're halfway through the cigarette before they realize they've smoked it. If I had to light a cigarette, I'd have to be concerned about not setting my hair on fire, my fingers on fire,
absolutely,
the cigarette blowing up in my face, how do you make the lighter work, how do you keep the thing lit, because they've learned to do that automatically, much like when you were a little kid, tying your shoelaces. That was a big deal when you were small, you know, when you were 2 or 3 years old. It was just, has to go this way, that way, under here, over there. Now, if you see, I wear slip-ons a lot, especially if I travel to airports, but, you know, basically, if I'm tying a shoelace, I have to, I just, if it's open and it's undone and there's people walking with you on a city street, you're like, wait a minute, I got to tie my shoe, I'll catch up in a second. And you do it and you don't even think about it. It's like driving a car. When you learn to drive the car, I learned with my father sitting next to me, who was a policeman, and I had the dean of discipline from my high school as my driver's ed teacher. The man's teeth seemed to be in a permanent grit from yelling at the students all day. At least that was my memory of the guy. I'm sure he was a wonderful man after hours, but in the school he was a very strict person. And I remember being in a sweat. I was dizzy. I was, it was hard to breathe. I needed a glass of water. I'd have to go home and lay down after I learned how to drive a little bit. And now I drive all over the place because my subconscious mind is driving my car. And that's a clear example of how hypnosis tends to work. as driving a car. You can't tell me every traffic light you stop at, every crater in the road you had to drive around, but there you are, you're home, nice and safe at the end of the day, because your automatic mind drove the car. It's the same as being on an elevator and getting off when everybody else does and looking around going, no, I actually secretly meant to get off at this floor for a moment and get back on the elevator, because you weren't paying attention and your subconscious took over what was going on. Or, for example, when you were in school years ago and the teacher would call on you while you were daydreaming, and it seems to me teachers enjoy doing that, at least the schools I went to, and you would not know what the teacher was talking about, and your friend would whisper the wrong answer to you, and you'd repeat it because you were clutching at a straw, and then the class would laugh, and then that was kind of the joke was on you. But that's automatic pilot stuff also. I see that in relationships with men and women where one spouse is sort of dazed out and watching the TV, and the other spouse is saying, come on, we have to leave, and it's. You know, if you have a husband who watches a football game or something, or a baseball game, you may notice that, or kids watching TV, for example. So consequently, a lot of what we're doing is automatic behavior, and that's subconscious behavior. And what a hypnotist does is address the automatic subconscious part of the mind. So part of what I do is I work on the idea of having the subconscious mind become an automatic life improvement machine, because I get the subconscious mind on the side of the person whose mind it is to work in their favor rather than against them. The average person is suggesting a dramatic amount of negative information to themselves over and over and over throughout the day. The average adult is not laughing as much as they did when they were a child, and laughter is invaluable in many ways. It releases beneficial hormones and proteins into the body. It reverses various stress levels. It apparently, according to some of the research, it's believed that laughter can send out endorphins to tranquilize the body on certain levels and make you feel good. It also seems to boost the immune system, according to some of the research. So consequently, when people leave my sessions, whether I'm doing it in person, I also do it on the internet occasionally on Skype, when we're finished, I usually leave them laughing, which is a good show business adage, but it really does work. I did hypnotize a colonel in the Army over in Iraq sometime about a year ago to do a weight loss session. He contacted me, somebody I happen to know, and I helped him lose weight through a session we did halfway across the world over the internet.
Wow.
So to see me, you can see me in person. You can see me on the internet. If you want to make an appointment on Skype, I certainly do that. So I also make recordings. I have a CD series that's out now, which I'm kind of happy about, and there'll be more coming in that area. I also have MP3s that are available for people to use as self-hypnosis tools, where they put that on at night, perhaps in a comfortable chair or lying down in a bed. And I'm with a lot of people at night, not just personally, though, because it's recording, not me personally.
So what people can go to your website that doesn't, quote, live in New York or at one of your shows, and they would be able to find tools there where they could find out more about hypnosis, they could find out more of what you've done, and they can also find tools there to help them, and they're able to make changes in their life with some of those tools. Can you tell us about your website and how to contact you?
Well, the website, you can find me at worldfamoushypnotist.com, just one big word, no breaks or spaces, worldfamoushypnotist.com, or they can contact my office here in New York at 718-227-4868, that's 718-227-4868, or my Western number out in the Las Vegas area, 702-357-8630, that's 702-357-8630, or again, these numbers are on the website, worldfamoushypnotist.com.
Great. That would be wonderful for everyone listening. You know, so if I came to you and I was sitting down, you would say, okay, let's just walk through this process briefly. So what I would do is I would tell you or have written down my, let's say if I wanted to, okay, I want to lose weight. I would write down five things that would potentially seem to me to be an issue around that subject of weight loss. Is that correct?
Yes, I would need to know what you're doing.
Right.
Are you eating at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Right.
Are you snacking on crackers, chips,
right.
pasta? Are you a sweets eater? Are you eating ice cream? Is it
mm-hmm.
candy? Is it cake? You know, it's interesting when I mention cake because it triggers me back to a story briefly. There was sometimes when a hypnosis session is in full throttle and the results are coming, because the changes are subconscious and automatic, and that's the way the human brain is designed to function. People are in hypnosis with no one's help at least 7 times a day. It's kind of when you see somebody dazing out. It's their brain cycling down from stress. So any hypnotist doing their job is guiding you into something that your brain naturally does. There's no magic wand. There's no weird blanket of hypnosis energy or fishing net or something. I've had people describe this to me over the years in terms of their misinterpretations of this. So I'm not throwing a fishing net of hypnosis over your head or a blanket of energy or a lightning bolt or a magic wand. And what I do is I guide you into hypnosis. And there was a lady that came to see me. This has got to be 10 or 15 years ago, somewhere in that range. I mean, I'm a guy. We don't really have that mindset with year-by-year thing, you know. I'm lucky I remember birthdays. But the point is that without a list, I'm in trouble because I know a lot of people. The point is this. She called me up, and she said, I need to come in and lose weight. And I said, how much weight? And she gave me some number. It was like 45 pounds, 50 pounds in that range. And she said to me, I have an issue. I eat cake every night. I said, do you mean
goodness.
Like a slice? And she said, no, there's a bakery that's open by the train station. And when I get off the train, I stop in there every night and I buy a cake. It serves 8 to 12. And then
I go
home and eat the entire cake until I feel nauseous from it. Then I lay in bed with the acid in my throat, cursing my life and whatever. And I said, well, we got to change that. And she said, yes, we do.
Right.
So she called me a week later and she said to me, because again, foundational changes that are subconscious are not always obvious on a conscious level right away to an individual because it seems that's the way it's always been, even though it's an improvement. So she called me and she said to me, I'm not sure this session is working. And it was some sort of a voicemail or whatever I had back then, an answering machine. So I called her back and I said, let me ask you a couple of questions. Are you eating cake every night still? And she said, you know, the strangest thing happened, which, by the way, I love when the strangest thing happens.
Right.
That's why I become like the boss on The Simpsons. I'm like, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what happened? And she said, well, you know, I decided to drive down to Jefferson Avenue train station on the train line a little further down. Oh, it's a wonderful train station. And I'm scratching my head thinking, where is this going, you know? You can run up the short flight of stairs in the morning if it's raining or park on the other side if it's going to rain in the afternoon. And then if it's going to snow later in the year, I can do that. And she went on, and she said, you know, when I get off the train at night, I just get in my car and go home because there's no bakery at that train station. Wow,
oh,
now
really?
I know why I did that. That's an automatic improvement that I'm asking
their
subconscious mind to make. And one of the things that I'm pioneering, at least I think so in this profession, is the idea of asking the subconscious mind to indirectly or directly, in ways known and unknown to them, make the life adjustments and improvements that their body needs, that their mind needs, that their life needs, and why they're calling me to see me in the first place. Because if I was to have sketched out some sort of a plan for her, I never would have thought to tell her to go to a different train station. I was working on releasing other things, but I did give her the suggestion, back then even, your brain will work this out for you automatically. Your mind will continue to work on this while you're awake, while you're asleep, even while you're dreaming. And it did. That was a strange week anyway. I had a couple of people do that week. There was somebody with stress management, and I went through the various things that were stressing him out before he came in here, and he said to me, nope, none of those things bother me. Wow, it does work. My favorite was there was a woman from that same week that called, and she said to me, I'm not sure the smoking program's working. Call me back. Now, either you're smoking or you're not smoking.
Right.
So I said to her, what's going on? I said, are you smoking? She said, no. I said, do you want to smoke anything? And she said, no. And I'm scratching my head again thinking, what does that mean? And she said, the strangest thing happened. And I thought to myself, I've heard this before. So I said, well, what happened? I decided to change gas stations and buy gas in this new station that opened near my home. Oh, it's so beautifully clean, and the mini mart in there is so wonderful. And when I fill my car up 3 times a week for my sales job, they don't automatically bring me 2 packs of cigarettes with the fill-up the way the other place used to do because I had
these
things. Because that's automatic subconscious improvement.
And you know, it is so different that everybody should really understand is that you may give those suggestions, and just like you said, everyone is an individual. Granted, if
right.
you lined up 10 people and you said, I'm fat because I, you know, go to the fast food restaurant every single day. Well, that's not always the same reason for all 10 of those people, where there's like a whole other collection of, like you said, memories, habits, and subconscious items around that of going to that fast food restaurant every day, where just by taking one person, I mean, 10 times 10, you know, you could take that exponential, how many hundreds of thousands is that, of things that your brain has drawn into and finally gotten to this point where you're thinking that. So, like, how do you work on one thing? You don't. You are working on everything. You're not just saying, I'm going to tell you to stop doing this today. Like some people think, I'm going to go to him. He's going to tell me to stop smoking today. I'm going to walk out, and I'm not going to do it anymore. And like you say, that's not really exactly what you how you work with people. You work with people, and it works around all of those other areas because it does take what is individual for you. So when people say, hypnosis never works for me, well, does it or doesn't it? You know, and maybe some of those programs that were straight, here's one, two, three, and that's it. Maybe your program, you know, works for a whole lot more people.
Well, if I can turn their subconscious mind to a friend, away from an adversary,
right,
then you're going to get better results. It's just a simple matter of that. If I ask their subconscious mind to work in their favor in ways known and unknown to them, I could be on the phone with them and on emails and in sessions with them for decades. I'd never get to the bottom of it. But if I can get their subconscious mind to work in their favor,
mm-hmm.
just as they've stood in their own way subconsciously for so long, so too can they get out of their own way immediately, because the subconscious mind is a very powerful thing. It's leading 94% of your life, and that sort of a thing is going to clear up whatever the issues are. So I work on the idea that I learned in church as a young man, which was a little boy, you know, protect us from things known and unknown to us. I love the idea of working with things in their favor, both known and unknown, that lead to success and breakthroughs. I also put into my sessions various automatic triggers, that every time they shake their head yes or no, they're saying no to the past and laughing at how powerful they've become over those things. And nodding their head yes, they're saying yes to everything in their life that will generate a smoke-free them, a lighter, thinner, healthier, better them, more energetic, a more stress-free them, whatever it may be, that a better night's rest, for example. You know, people who don't sleep at night sometimes, as I said to you before, are worried mm-hmm. about tomorrow. But if you
yeah.
realize that every day kind of took care of you and you got through every one of those days and the sun comes up every morning, well then, you know, the sun will come up tomorrow morning and tomorrow will
right.
take care of you in whatever way it's going to. You know, a friend of mine who's lived in Tibet said to me not so long ago, you know, he said to one of the monks, I was having a bad day. And the monk said to him, no good day, no bad day, just day.
Right.
So it's a matter of what you decide you want to do with that moment of power and what you're going to do to transform your life. And I've seen a lot of amazing changes take place, from a guy I did a session with that lost 350 pounds to, you know, people that were smoking for decades, some of them 4 and 5 decades, sometimes 4 or 5 packs a day. That basically, they would never seen without a cigarette in their fingers or in their mouth. And without even using the reinforcement recording, they just came in, I did the session, they walked out of here, they never smoked again. And it's
so
strange,
how,
because as you live your life, they come up behind you in the mall and grab you
yeah.
from the back, and it's like, you know, being in New York, grabbing me from the back is not
yes.
always a smart move. But it was, I have to hold myself back for a moment, and I'm like, yes, I love you. I haven't smoked in 10 years since I saw you. Well, thanks for letting me know 10 years later, you know.
Right.
But this stuff is very high impact, and I work really, really hard, because anybody I work with, I tend to want the results for them, at least if not more than what they want for themselves.
If I came to you then, so I come to you and I have my questions. So the amount of, I sit down and, you know, like you said, it's pretty much instantly you can do that. And then you're sitting there, and what would I experience as one of your clients in a session?
Well,
so if you could tell me how that session goes, how long it runs, and what I should then be doing afterwards, just generally.
Well, while I'm capable of hypnotizing people using speed hypnosis in fractions of a second, if I'm making a recording, certainly I can't wave my hand in front of somebody's face a certain way or do things that you may find all over my YouTube page. So if I'm making a recording, I may go more old school. In a private session, the person is welcomed into the area where I work. I put them in the best, most relaxing chair in the place if I'm working here or elsewhere. And then I go through something called a pre-talk, which alleviates myths and misconceptions. Many of the misconceptions are things like they're going to get stuck in hypnosis or tell me deep, dark secrets and, you know, other things along that line. And there is no loss of control. And unless I'm regressing them to help find lost money or jewelry, which I've certainly done, I had a, I've had police in here that have misplaced their guns and stuff, too. You know, I've had a lot of different things. I had somebody lose estate jewelry that was worth $250,000. I helped them find that. They got up in the middle of the night and put it someplace. So somebody that lost $28,000 and hadn't been able to locate it, and they got up in a sleepwalking state and put it somewhere. But consequently, there is no verbal interaction with the person when they're laying back and I actually do the hypnosis. There's a lot of other things I have to explain. Who can be hypnotized, who can't. Misconceptions, silly questions even, you know. Like, can I play the recording, the deep trance hypnosis recording driving to work in the car? No, you don't play it in the car or in a plane or in a boat or any place. I've had people tell me, well, can I listen to it in my hot tub, you know, with the water just under my nose? You know, there are certain safety concerns and other things we have to work around intelligence-wise. But once I get all of that stuff explained, I will discuss what induction method, the way I hypnotize somebody or induce hypnosis, is used. I have prepared before they come in here via intake over the phone and via email a series of suggestions targeted to them specifically, or if I have to work off a recording or something, perhaps more generally, or a combination of both, perhaps something I've completely written from scratch for them, or something in combination with something I know has worked over the last 3 decades of doing this work. And then there are certain specific reinforcements that I put into the session towards the end as post-hypnotic reinforcement triggers that really get them to succeed dramatically. And then I explain how I count them back up into a more, you know, wakeful state. And we cover questions and answers. If they have questions along the way, they're more than welcome to answer this. I'll answer their questions, rather. They can ask me just about anything when it comes to hypnosis. And then I just make sure they're comfortable and we get underway. I ask them to sit back in a recliner generally, and I will give them the regular session I've discussed with them in advance, the induction, which induces the hypnosis, the beneficial suggestions, the reinforcement triggers, and specifically targeted items that will get them across into a better way of life and how the count out works. And if I'm doing a one-on-one private session, I will do a longer verbal induction because I have to record it. And then I record it live in the session onto an MP3. Even if I'm doing Skype halfway across the world, I do that. I'm wearing another microphone. And then I upload it to them, generally back to their email address. And most people have MP3 capability at this point on their computer, on their phone, whatever it might be, an MP3 player. And by that point, they now have a reinforcement modality. And I do kind of insist that they use it for some specified period of time, generally 90 to 120 days, as a pre-bed thing. But as it turns out, because hypnosis tends to be a deep form of mental relaxation, they tend to relax much deeper at night and sleep better generally. So a few minutes of what I do tends to be similar to a few hours worth of sleep, and consequently the next day they're better rested, more optimistic. I do always throw in self-esteem and motivational suggestions, obviously, to get them across into the light a little bit more. And then from that, when they come back out of hypnosis, I will also mention they may feel as though they've had a 9-hour nap and a 7-hour back and leg and foot rub, because who doesn't want that? I like a 9-hour nap and a 7-hour back and foot and leg rub. I don't know about you, but I think most listeners to your show would enjoy that too. So why not do it through suggestion?
And, you know, when people think about this, they think, you know, I'm just going to sit there and, you know, maybe I won't be... I will have to have let go of control. But they do have some sort of control. I mean, this is
right.
It's not like I'm going into a zombie state where, you know, oh, well, I'm going to be all totally uninhibited and everybody's going to take control of me and they're going to do something bad to me. This is not at all at anywhere, shape, or form. This is totally the opposite, correct?
Yes, because being an educator in what I do, there's
right.
education in every session that I do with a person. So if I'm doing a first primary session with a person, and because of the depth I generally tend to work at, many of the sessions are just a one-time deal, but I do educate them as to what I'm going to do. As I mentioned a moment ago, I discuss what the induction procedure is going to be.
Right.
I discuss what the suggestions are going to be, what the targeted weak spot suggestions they've sent me on an email basis, for example, may be in their session for them, as well as the various reinforcement modalities I put in there, that every time they look at their wristwatch, it also reinforces the session. Every time they see a particular color, it'll reinforce the session. Every time they shake their head no and nod their head yes, they're doing various reinforcements of the session. Things we do automatically. Like, how many times a day do you nod your head? I'm shaking my head no now.
Right.
You know, just to make a point, which you can't see because we're on radio together. But how many times a day do you shake your head no or nod your head yes? Probably thousands. We don't even realize it.
Absolutely.
You know, so consequently, all of those become instantaneous reinforcement triggers for the person. And the people I work with tend to have really high impact dynamic results. There is homework involved. If I'm sending you an MP3 and you're working with me, I expect you to listen to it for 90 or 120 nights in a row. That's having 90 or 120 private sessions with me. And if you're really serious about coming in here to do something, listen, I'm the head coach here. My job is to get you across into the light and get you where you have to be. I work within the confines of the law. You know, I don't work with psychiatric patients, certainly. I don't practice medical, psychiatric hypnosis stuff on that order. But I do what I'm allowed to do by the law, and I guide people into self-hypnosis, which all hypnosis is. Practicing self-hypnosis off a recording is a form of self-hypnosis, and being guided into hypnosis is a form of self-hypnosis when you're guided by somebody else into what you do naturally without my help, except this time it's to your benefit because we're going to help improve something. So there is no loss of control. Nobody's robbed a bank and brought me the money yet. Not that I've suggested that, you should understand, but I've seen that in movies too,
Getting stuck
in hypnosis is popular.
Right, and that's the biggest culprit is you know, what. And again, that brings you back to why you have issues, is your fears of other things. So your fear of something that you don't know causes a lot of these issues, but the fear of hypnosis is really not there. So this would be definitely you are alleviating that fear of going through this process. You know, all you can get is a positive benefit out of it. It has no negative aspects. It has no reason to not try it. It has no reason to actually maybe say, you know, maybe this is an option, you know. Even you could get, like you said, get the MP3s from your website or in the
right.
scripts, and you could be doing that at home. So you could feel you have control. You're able to do that. And, you know, even with children, you said you've worked with children. You could be children all the way up to the elderly. It doesn't really matter. So it's not just
right.
one person. You know, this is something everybody.
Yeah, I've worked with kids, for example. There was one little girl that came in here, and she had been in, I think she was about 9 years old. She was in 5 grammar schools because she was constantly fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked on the idea that, you know, you knew at some point when you were a bigger girl, this wasn't going to continue. So
right.
it's a little shorter with the kids. You put them into hypnosis a little faster because kids tend to slip into it a little faster. And they get, you know, restless in the chair a little bit if you keep them in the chair too long. You know, kids get squirmy
mm-hmm.
if they're sitting there for a period of time. So what I tend to do is I get in there a little faster. I give them suggestions. And her mother had called me, and they came from quite some distance. It was about 4 counties away from here. And the mother said to me, she's about 98% better. Can we touch this up? I said, sure. And she came back for another session. And last time I heard from my mother, which was about 2 years ago on an email, she said she's doing great. She's in junior high school, hasn't had a fight in years, and is doing better. I had another kid around the time of September 11th, 2001, when, you know, the terrible attacks happened, where,
right.
You know, they wheeled in TVs and started showing the kids all these videos on the broadcast television. And this kid was waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the morning screaming in bed. His mother had an issue with her mom that day, at the doctor's office and didn't get back as fast as normal to pick him up from school. And he started to disasterize, thinking, what if she was in Manhattan and took a side trip and that happened to her? And, you know, and sometime after that, a year later, they wheeled in the TVs again, and he was back to where he started after, you know, a good 10 months of improvement. And his father brought him back in here, and the kid after that was fine. And I said to the father, go speak to the principal and no more of this TV nonsense in the classroom with this kid. And he went and spoke to the principal, and they stopped running those videos. And the kid's been, as a matter of fact, I was doing a show at a county fair. And like most adults, I saw a little, you know, kid, a young man, a little boy running towards me with his arms out up in the air. And, you know, your natural reaction as a grown-up is to get down low to catch them as they're going to jump into you. And I didn't know who this kid was immediately. It took me a second because, you know, I'm traveling the country doing this stuff. And when I looked over his shoulder and I saw his father, he jumped up and hugged me, and he said to me, I'm all better now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I saw his father, and I recognized who he was, and he said, he doesn't do that anymore. He's fine.
Absolutely.
There's a video on my, YouTube page. I was doing a hypnosis speed demonstration in a restaurant about 3 winters ago, 5 counties from here, out on the eastern side of Long Island, New York. And there was a waitress, and she said, I've got this tremendous fear of something. And we happen to have a little video camera, flip camera, some of the people at the table because I was teaching a class. And you can actually see, I think the video runs 2.5 or 3.5 minutes. And while I was in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago, she commented on that video and she said, this stuff is real. I was the biggest skeptic in the world. You see him taking my fear away on camera in this short video clip. I have not been afraid of what I mentioned to him in years. So that's instantaneous change, and that's the stuff we do. Can we do that for every single person? Certainly, I don't know. But what I would say to you is I've seen it happen often enough where I know the power of what I do. You know, and another misconception I've heard from people is because I do stage shows, you know, are you not going to make me cluck like a chicken or bark like a dog? Or my favorite is when they mix that up and they say, you're not going to make me bark like a chicken, which begs the question, what kind of chicken, in fact, do you enjoy every night? Because if it's barking, it's probably not a chicken. But I do stage shows because many, many years ago, about 20 years ago, people started asking me, can you do one of those funny hypnosis shows? You mean like a lighthearted lecture demo? No, no. One of the funny hypnosis shows like we saw in college or on the cruise ship or in high school. So finally, I thought to myself, my sense of humor is pretty much as good as anybody else's. I think I have a good sense of humor. And I started to study stage hypnosis. And I do that for a wide variety of institutions, whether it's high schools, colleges, universities, major corporations have hired me all over the country where I do entertainment shows. And it makes me laugh to do them. And I have a really good time doing them. I work in good taste. And I've worked in religious institutions as well, you know, various religious schools and stuff. And we always have a good time with it. So I'm doing a fundraising event coming up shortly at a high school north of New York City in a couple of weeks. And I have a college show booked this weekend coming up. And basically, whether it's an entertainment event or an entertainment event to raise funds for various things, everything from to fight cancer, to fight heart disease, to fight teen suicide. I've done a lot of these events and raised a lot of money for a lot of organizations. And the high school show I'm doing is to help raise money for the senior class and their prom. So whether it's disease or helping senior class raise money for a prom, proms are good.
Great. So we're winding down at the end of the show, John, and I would just like to again encourage everyone to give John a chance. You can go to his website, and his website is, John?
WorldFamousHypnotist.com, WorldFamousHypnotist.com.
Great, and you'll be able to email John through that website if you have any questions. And he does do events. You will be able to contact him there. You'll be able to go to see other events if he has listed on his website. He also has other venues where you'll be able to find everything through his website. You'll be able to find MP3s there. You'll be able to find scripts. You will be able to see what he has done. You'll be able to know everything about John. So, John, I'd like to thank you today for being my guest. It was a wonderful show.
My pleasure, and thank you so much for having me. You're absolutely wonderful to work with. Thanks so much, and thanks to your listeners, too.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us. So if anyone is interested in the hypnotist that we have spoken with today, his name is John Sarabone, Cerbone. He is the world-famous hypnotist, and he is the fastest hypnotist alive. I would encourage you to check out his website, worldfamoushypnotist.com. If you'd like to have any further information or need to contact me, outoftheboxhealthcare.com. And thank you so much for being with us today. It was a wonderful Sunday, and hope to see you soon on the next show. Thank you.